Yo, this is part two of the coronavirus quarantine episode. We're recording all this simultaneously. I'm going to give you this over the course of 2 weeks. But welcome back for everybody on the streaming, and then everyone who will see these visuals on our Facebook page and YouTube. So overall, we just want to thank you, all you guys, for, of course, listening and subscribing. And also throughout the course of this, we're going to talk on some more serious matters in honoring of everybody who's been lost throughout the course of the police brutality, violence over the last few weeks, few months, and even the ones over the last decade, because it's been a rough one for African Americans in the course of the United States and across the world. So you want to honor both George Floyd, Ahmaud Arbery, and Breonna Taylor. So for everybody who has had them in their prayers, been donating their families, continuing to donate to families, we definitely salute all of you guys and everyone who's been protesting. So I'm going to pass this off to you, Quentin.
Yeah, man, it's a crazy time, in, you know, in today's, you know, world, man. And I got to tell people, man, this been going on. We just got cameras to pretty much see everything. And it's like it's a saddened feeling, bro. Like, it just make you sick to your stomach just watching this live on, you know, what happened to George. And it's like a pretty much a live lynching, bro, like on live TV, and the people actually seeing it. We've been saying it, we've been telling folks, we've been videotaping it, and it's just, some people just has not been like getting it. You know what I'm saying? We've been saying it. We've been saying it for the longest. We get harassed. We get this. We get that. You know, we got to fight 10 times harder just, you know, to prove ourselves. So it's just, it's time, bro. It's just, it's sickening, man. It's, you know, especially since I got a child now, man. It's just like, dang, this world is crazy right now, man. And it's kind of threw me out for a little bit. It had me, make me self-reflect, make me really be conscious of, you know, my surroundings, which I do anyway, but really just like maybe just think like, man, like it's painful, man, just to watch it. You know what I'm saying? This is, you know, as a black man out here, man, it's just tough. It's tough, bro. It's sickening. Like it made me just sit to my stomach.
You want to go, Willie?
Yeah, man. So I've been trying to peek in on social media and watch it and then kind of, you know, jump back out. But it's like, in the piggyback on what Q was saying, like, it is sickening, man, because I mean, we're actually watching a modern day lynching happen right before our eyes. And what people fail to realize is like, this is nothing new. You know what I'm saying? Like, this has been going on. You know what I'm saying? Like, people used to, like, as late as like the 1950s and 60s, go to public lynchings. Like, it was like, you know, like a festival kind of deal where people would just go and watch people hang them. So, I mean, if you think about it, the 60s or 50s, that's somebody's dad, that's somebody's grandparent, you know what I'm saying, who was just going for fun to watch somebody get lynched, which, I mean, when I watched the video, man, I was traumatized myself because, you know, like you said, you know, like, I mean, I'm a black man in America, you know what I'm saying? That's somebody's brother's uncle, cousin, you know what I'm saying? That could have been me, you know what I'm saying, in that sense. So, and it's just weird, man, because being black in America and seeing the police, like, I mean, I try to be conscious about it, but I get this weird, uneasy feeling. And since I've been working at this homeless shelter, like, the police come in and out and I never feel comfortable, even though I'm working in a shelter and they know I'm a shelter employee. I never feel comfortable around them. And it shouldn't be like that. Yep. Like, it shouldn't be like that. So, yeah.
So with this said, I'll probably go a little bit because, like, my perspective is just like both of you guys. It's a saddening situation. It's a commonality that's becoming a normalcy with law enforcement and with a lot of prejudiced people about killing black people and getting away with it. I've said this for a long time. It's the games of cops and niggas. And I hate to say that, you know. I do appreciate all of the organizations, and I have this collaboration hoodie for FUBU, the Black Lives Matter, what they're doing. One of my former employers, Color Change, NAACP, all of the National Bail funds that are going out, as well as the local ones too, as well, for really talking and discussing with people who, and helping people nonetheless, of going through all of this and how to deal with this and talk with this, because this is trauma. And I've said this like numerous times, probably to you, Quinn. America has been getting away with a lot of fucked up shit with us. And they've been profiting off of us, whether it's prisons, with the, us kind of having this almost indentured servitude of like overwork, working and spending in commerce and helping their country from a profitable standpoint. The trillions of dollars that we spend in America, and we're the lowest paid people outside of the Latinx community. And we're basically the reason why this country is thriving. And with all of that, well, we're not able to spend and do entertainment. We're now on the peak of the recession, soon to be the depression. And then also, too, it's the looting, the rioting, a lot of that is a product of that. People are hungry. People are poor. People are scared.
And people plus adding the COVID on top of it, bro. Yeah. We've been locked down for 3 months. Then this happened. They folks are fed up, bro. Bro, folks fed up. They hit a cracking point. Like, man, this is it. I'm done.
Yes, and that is the thing too. And then with a lot of that, like you said, people were protesting, and then people said, "Fuck that shit." And I've been, you know, kind of like, however way people need to vent throughout the situation, I'm totally fine with it right
now.
Because just for the simple fact of like, black people have never really had a freedom to truly 100% be themselves and speak their voice in themselves. They've always looked at white America, and the media has always looked at one black representation as a voice for the entirety of the 44 million black people that's in America. And, or maybe a couple voices. And then that's not fucking true. Like, I don't want to hear, from, and I have a relationship with him, but I don't want to hear from Van Jones everywhere. And he's from the same town as me and Quentin, but I don't want to have just Van speak on the voice of it. I don't want Cornel West, as much as I love him. I don't want Killer Mike. I want everybody to have a way they need to get through this, who is a person of color, to be able to get through this. Also too, go ahead.
No, I was saying that people have, like I said, you were talking about the Killer Mics, because that's people, the media are going to hit them up first to say something. You know what I'm saying? And we look up, people look up to them. That's why they hit the media first. Van Jones, you know, Cornell, what's his name? Cousin Jeff, you know, they always put, you know, Cousin Jeff up there. A lot of people, Tory, they hit all these people first. And then, you know, of course, everybody have their own mindset, how they're supposed to think, especially different regions of the country. Feel it different ways, man. Down south feel different from the west coast, whatever. But it's like everybody right now kind of they coming together for that, but it's still different painful at different places, man. It's pain everywhere.
Yeah, and you're right about that. It's like, and you can't really tell people express how to fucking express their pain right now.
You can't. You can't.
And I didn't have anything to say about the, you know, overall from there. People have been getting chastised and shit about the looting. People have been saying we don't need to loot. You've been motherfuckers like B. Simone and all them saying this isn't the G. Well, I'm like, you know what? You know, people need to be able to express their individuality. Y'all can get mad at it. I just want black people to be safe right now.
Yeah, that's it.
You know, that's it, man. That's all I want. So whatever solutions they need to do to make that sure that they're safe, that is from there. But cops need to stop putting their hands unnecessarily on people and killing us. And one thing,
it's a mentality, bro. It's a mentality. Like, they built that up. You know what I'm saying? You ain't going to come to nobody super nice. They, like, they coming to us with aggression. They feel like they have to do that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Instead of talking to us, they got to be aggressive, be extra aggressive, extra hard against us. I don't know why. But it's always been like that.
Yeah, it's their mentality, man. Like, the way, you know, their perception when they see somebody in, you know, in black skin, you know what I'm saying? They're like, oh, they're lazy. Yeah. They don't work. They're aggressive. You know, they're just like leeching off our economy. So there's a negative connotation when they see somebody with, you know, with black skin, dark skin, brown skin, whatever it is, you know, so.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. And the sad thing about it is, and this is a thing in the custom, I mean, W.B. Du Bois, and you can look this up, like, white America has always had like this context of like, majority of black people aren't shit. And then it's this talented 10% of like black people who we need and creating and can lead and do all this other shit. And I've always felt like that's bullshit, because America has always really specified this magical Negro syndrome, and then the rest of us are just fucking martyrs. And I said this on a call with my job, is that the sad thing about it is a lot of us as black people too, we just not really starting to understand, especially as black men, what our value and how we became a threat, because we were always praised growing up as athletes, putting seats in the sands, fucking sports, like our bodies. And that's even a fucking slave mentality. Tell my goddaughter I said hello, by the way, because I hear. But yeah, there's a mentality of like, hey, you go to high school, you play, you be great, you fucking sell tickets. Then you go to college, the boosters, the monies, the jerseys, all this other shit. You get a little opportunity to play outside. Once you're done, now I'm a fucking threat to you, society. That's how I look, my size, whatever. That's how a lot of black men are being really just viewed and treated in our society, in the cusp of our society. And it's a fucked up situation with that. So it's like, I can't really tell, like you're saying, for them how to go in from there. And we did have this talk, you and I, about like how do people, and I've told whatever best way you think you can give back to the movement, give back. I personally did not go out to protest, but
I didn't either.
I do have this platform. That's the reason why we're our platform. If you can guys see, I donate. I spend a lot of money on black merch. I give a lot of money, and my money goes to the black organizations. There's, you know, document proof of this. This is our receipt, because they're 501(c)(3)s and 501(4)s. So they got to keep documentations of everybody. So if anybody want to question, that shit is literally, you can go on ActBlue or any place else and see. That is where my place is. Me as a speaker, me as an organizer, me as a strategist. I've been doing this type of work outside of my art shit for the last 10 years. You know, I've worked on campaigns. I've worked with black organizations before, across LA, Los Angeles Black Workers Center. And then I worked with the National Outreach Color Change. So I've been doing this shit. Mm-hmm. Like, this isn't something that I'm just talking about. You know, there's a record. There's witnesses of me doing this. So my expressive way of doing it is going to be different, because I think from a way else. I tell everybody this, and this is my, and like, you know, I believe all of the goals, everything that needs to be done is essentially the way how you get the common goal. So the people who want to protest, you need to protest. The people who want to speak about it on their media outlets, do that. Donate, give out money. Because one of the craziest things about it is, and this is for me from all of my working and experience at high level in politics. Yeah, we do need to go vote, but I'm going to keep an honest truth or whatever. The reason why everybody else gets this shit, this is from my experience and my seeing this and shit, is that organizations like the NRA, the reason why they get laws passed in their favor for them, because they put money in politicians' pockets. They spend money on policy and legislation. We don't as much. And I'm not saying that that's the only way to do it. But when we ask and we talk about why there's so much effect that us of us, because a lot of these politicians that we're asking to hold accountable, they look at us as nothing, because, you know, we're not greasing their pockets. Mm-hmm. You know, because our community, we have too much pride for that shit. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I shouldn't be paying for $200, $300 a plate for you to want to equate change.
Yeah. So I didn't mean to cut you off, but like, so what are some ways like we as people could do as far as, you know, getting our agenda, you know what I'm saying, things that we want done. Are there like organizations that we can do,
So there are black political PACs, and then organizations like Black Lives Matter, they do need funding to hire lawyers, to hire people. Because it's just like, I mean, you see like a reason how a lot of these motherfuckers like Bernie Madoff and all these other motherfuckers, they come in 20, 30 deep in these cases with some of the best lawyers. You have to do it the same on civil rights action too, as well. You got to have the best lawyers, the best people to fight for shit. Yeah. Like that's just the way it is. We live in a capitalist country.
Yeah, for sure.
Like it's really about spending.
Mm-hmm.
There are, like you said, there are organizations that have that in the NAACP, of course. I mean, however, whichever ones you personally, people do need to research. I'm not just going to throw out warrants for there, but also too, a lot of us, we need to start trying to, in our local communities, in a lot of places, from a local standpoint, we need to start putting these different type of monies together. However way you want to strategize it, you, your team, your family, the black community, as well as also our allies, because I do want it to the black, brown, Asian communities and, you know, Polynesian, of course, because they've seen a lot doing it, like to salute them, for everybody to also figure out what's the best creative ways and not have it so much of an ego on this shit. Because I've been on calls with black, you know, leaders and shit where everybody want to be the motherfucking man. And that is
that's the thing,
and that's the problem.
Because if it's either my way or your way wrong, you ain't saying it right. I'm gonna do it this way. We've been clashing. We've been doing that too long. So it's now it's like we can all do our own thing as long as we going towards that common goal.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm down with it.
Yeah, and people talk to us, me and Quentin, most specifically about doing shit back home. I'm down. I've told the shit I'm having on record, so y'all can't say it. Any type of shit y'all want to get done and. West Tennessee, Tennessee in general, the South, I'm down to do it. I'm down to give my expertise and my opinion. I know Quentin is down to do it. Collective is a podcast. We're down to do it. But I want to do what I can do is best. I'm not sitting there going to be, you know, I don't want to be doing the arguing back and forth. We need to, you know, all sit down as black men and women to collectively really look at the higher bits of the goals and what we need to do to get from there. And on top of that, too, like a lot of people have been doing this, but I've always been saying it. Stop putting so much money in corporate America. Really recycling money in businesses is going to be in there too as well. That's
a huge one.
You know, like
we've been on that though. You know what I'm saying? We've been doing it. But certain people need to be woken. You know, sparked to do it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Put your money in certain businesses, certain, you know, that's going to reflect back on you. Yeah, I know I've been doing it.
Yeah.
I've been doing it. Yeah.
Yeah. Investing in the communities are going to, invest in you or your community. You know what I'm saying? Because that's where you got to recycle the dollar. So, I mean, I know me and Ashton, like, I try to. I think Ashton does it more than me because I kind of get caught up in, like, oh, I'll buy it from Target or I'll buy it from Amazon because it's quick and convenient and easy. Which I probably shouldn't do, but me and Ashton though for sure, like, you know, been trying to target our dollars at, like, you know, black grocery stores and I just opened up an account with the black bank, One United Bank. So you know, I just know from what I've heard and what I've done research on that, you know, they're willing to more so invest in communities, you know, people that look like us. So those are like a couple steps I've taken as far as doing that stuff.
And that's me very the same. And I've always been on that. Like, a lot of my brands that I've worn on there are black-owned brands. I've worn a lot of black-owned brands on the podcast, on various sites, recycling dollars. I think that's very important because we need to be able to make sure we can get money in different communities. Mm-hmm. Like, most black people, and like he just mentioned it, Willie, you got to think, most people, they get paid. They go get their hair cut. And then after that, the black dollar goes to something else, or they get their hair done or their nails done. And then the black dollar leaves the black community and goes in corporate. And that needs to change more. And I'm not saying completely destroy capitalism, even though capitalism is some fucked up shit. But at the same time, I can't, because the economists and political scientists in me understands where I believe in a mixed economy, because I can't say destroy capitalism when black people haven't had enough time to equate wealth. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I got to work 2, 3, 4 jobs to make $100,000 when Alan over the street, who sucks at fucking life, and I'm not trying to be biased, but comes from this elitist corporate, never works, and he gets a job at his dad's firm making $250,000 coming out. And, you know, that's not equity. You know, we have to start really pushing equity on all facets. And that's very simple. You look at a child and you look at a lot of those type of things when it comes to children. Children, until they get corrupted, pretty much know what equity is. You go to a fifth grade classroom, you go outside, playground, they have a race. don't matter who wins, most of the kids are going to be accepting of, hey, I lost, I got to get better, we're all cool, they'll shake their hands and shit like that. It's until adults fucking start engaging with children, mm-hmm. how their variances get from there. Mm-hmm. We have to start embracing child and children with equity and get there. And that means from all kids coming up, and we'll talk about our problem now with black people, we have to, people have to, and other people have to be responsible and hold their own on realizing that, hey, this child, this black child can be as great as I can from start up. If growing up, you know, growing up, let's just say this, like, I pretty much excelled the majority of everything else. And we still got cheated and shitted and dealt with racism. There's no reason why you look at how advanced the society we supposed to be, that there's another, all three of us are higher mid tier professionals in all of our crafts. You are Willie. Quinn is in the medical field, and I am in the political organizing field. There's no reason why we should be ever in the course of life if we're really truly embracing true equity. Because we're all doing more than half of the fucking white people who are on fucking Section 8 and fucking food stamps. Because let's get that misconstruing for everybody who don't know. Poor white women take the most assistance out of anybody in the fucking country.
Mm-hmm.
100%. It is not black men. It is not women. So all the propaganda and shit, I'm telling you statistics. Black women are the most educated subgroup in fucking America.
Mm-hmm.
So it's no subgroup. So when you really look at all of these problems that we have, it's this white supremacy bullshit. Because it's like, if we really want to be the fucking best country that we say we want to be, people have to get up to stop saying this mediocrity, fucking alleged fake, we're great, make America great again, like this motherfucker Trump is doing. Bullshit. When we're not fucking great, when we're 16th in fucking education, probably 19th or 20th now, because everybody's fucking dumb now, getting dumber with all of this bullshit he's put in. And then kids are fucking struggling, and you see they can't even adapt to media education now that we had to be closeted in. So you just look at where we're at as a fucking country and all of the problems that we can get. A lot of this stuff has to start with adults trying to unlearn a lot of the fucked up shit that they have,
mm-hmm.
and stop trying to fucking corrupt this fucking country with this fake illusion that we have that we're perfection. And is this fucking world has been systemed that, because it's flawed. Our education system is flawed. Our fucking police system is fucking flawed. And you know, and it's even with, you know, I say that everybody's talking about defunding. And for all you dumb fucks who don't understand what defunding is, they're not talking about taking all of the fucking LAPD, all of the cops away. But the billions of fucking dollars that are spent on law enforcement and tactical training and shit, they don't fucking need that. You know what y'all motherfuckers need to do? You need to go sit your ass in a fucking martial arts gym and train and learn how to fucking use a fucking self-defense and actually defend yourself and stop being 300 pounds as a fucking cop. And actually train your body.
I think they should be in school like the rest of them.
That is
a 2-year degree or something to get education, bro. You know what I'm saying? Not just 6 months of just, you know, your training stuff. You need, because I had to. Everybody who, you know what I'm saying, you got to take to get licensed. You got to do all that. Go through steps, bro. It's a process. You just can't put somebody in an uncontrolled environment who already got mental issues. You know what I'm saying? Self-esteem issues. Already scared. Put them in an environment like that, an uncontrolled environment, absolutely, without no proper training.
Yeah,
I think you need education. I think you need to sit in the classroom. I think you know what you're dealing with. Because in healthcare, we can't even control them. In a controlled setting, we got medications, we got everything to calm people down, right? Imagine being on the street, adrenaline pumping. You already hate whoever you're getting called for. You know what I'm saying? They got bipolar. They're in a medic situation. They're going crazy. Mm-hmm. You don't even know how to talk to them. You know what I'm saying? Like they're all over the place. You need that psych education. You need all of that.
Yeah, you're right. And for example,
at least 2 years.
Yeah,
at least.
No, I agree. And
at least
I was saying, for example, I seen a cop at the homeless facility I was working at, and you know this black dude.
Yeah.
I think they told him, like, they were trying to get him to leave because he wasn't a resident there. So they asked him to leave. The white cop did ask the black homeless guy to leave. And the guy got pissed off, started cussing him out. And as he was walking and cussing him out, which granted, I'm not saying he was right for cussing the cop out. but the cop was antagonizing him as he was walking away. You know what I'm saying? The guy's still talking shit. Like, okay, he's walking away and he's talking shit. Like, why do you feel the need to constantly antagonize this guy and egg it on? You know what I'm saying? I think, and that's his, you know what I'm saying? That situation, like, you need to be the bigger man. You know what I'm saying? That's something that you gotta, you need to be trained on.
You
exactly. And not take things so personal. So I think like there needs to be like a constant, you know, training on that kind of stuff. You know what I'm saying? So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
for sure, man. For sure, man. Cause it took me even years, you know what I'm saying? To dealing with psych patients, bro, in a patient room, they're going off. You can't get loud with them because they're going to escalate. They see what's a threat. So you got to really just calm down. Mm-hmm. I learned that. And that took me, you know, years of doing it.
Yeah.
Dealing with bipolar, schizophrenic patients. All right, let's calm down. Okay, I'm trying to calm. You just constantly get lower and lower. They'll eventually get lower. They'll talk to you.
Yeah.
It takes time to do that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So.
No, that's funny. That's funny that you say that because my first day working at the homeless shelter, this guy came in. And, you know, like, I'm not used to dealing with, you know, the homeless or people that might be possibly mental ill. And he came in and I was like, asking him, I was like, hey man, can you sign this paperwork for me? You know what I'm saying? We need to get your information and take your phone number down. And his first response was, well, what the fuck you bothering me for? And me, you know what I'm saying? As a man, the way I'm going to react is I'm going to put that same energy
you
out
automatically
there.
Like,
and I did that. You know what I'm saying? I'm thinking, man, I'm about to lose my job. And I told Ashton this, I'm about to lose my job on the first day for knocking this old man out. You know what I'm saying? So I thought it was going to get there. But afterwards, like, luckily for me, there was a nurse there and she started talking to the guy. You know what I'm saying? And then she told me, she was like, yo, you can't respond like that. She was like, have you ever dealt with, you know, people that may be possibly mentally ill? And I was like, nah, I haven't. And she was just like, oh, well, you can't match their energy. You kind of got to stay calm. And she kind of told me what to do. And then in hindsight, it was like, okay, that makes sense. Cause I, you know what I'm saying? I told her, I was like, only people I've ever dealt with was drunk uncles. You know what I'm saying? And shit, when you deal with drunk uncles and drunk cousins, shit, you know, you match their energy. You know what I'm saying? So it was like something I had to learn.
So we get people, we get people off the street, high on drugs, PCP, hallucinating, the whole nine.
Yeah.
So you really got to know what you're doing. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It takes years to know that.
Yeah.
And you just can't tell me, you know, cops can deal with that without, you know what I'm saying, without medication on board, stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's a whole different game.
Absolutely.
So it's like,
I think like mental health now, I think it's getting better now. But as far as like even the cops, you know what I'm saying, like, their mental health and their mental well-being is something that needs to be addressed.
Yeah,
they need somebody to talk to on a regular, because it's like, yo, you know what I'm saying? I've been having a bad day and I'm pissed off, but guess what? You know what? The first motherfucker that gives me issues today, I'm whooping ass. You know what I'm saying? And that's like their outlet, which I get it. I don't condone it. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying it's right. It's fucking wrong, period. But they need different ways and avenues and outlets.
They got
they could talk or learn, you know. You know, emotional and mental health.
As soon as you get in there, they cuss you out.
Yeah.
Weak ass, puggy ass cop. Fuck motherfucker all day long.
And their way to deal with it is to whoop your ass. Like eventually, you know, so.
Yeah.
And they match it.
Yeah. And I think a lot of that is at, you know, the thing, like, me and Willie was watching, Medea Hughley, and like he said, just like you said about the training on his, Netflix special, he said it's crazy how it takes longer to cut a nigga hair than it is to shoot a nigga in education. And I mean, that is a thing I do think there, but I also think, like you said, there needs to be regular licensing and psych evaluation for law enforcement, because like, just like for you got to re-register, get recertified in a lot of other careers, you should be able to have to do the same. You should be able to do advanced learning, advanced training throughout the course of a cop. Because, like, hell, you know, I do a lot of private security, and it's like, we got to get recertified every two motherfucking years.
Same for me.
And that's the shit. And then on top of that, when it comes to organizing, a lot of people, when we work campaigns, we take sabbaticals, you know, from dealing with a lot of the political stuff. We, you know, the healthcare and therapy, a lot of us, they give us therapy days, you know. So, I mean, if they do that in, like, the political and social aspects, why aren't you doing a lot of these things in other organizations? And, I mean, just, you know, wrapping it up, I think it's important to, for, like you said, if we're going to be really tackling this police brutality thing, we as a country have to hold people accountable. And then our law enforcement need to hold each other and start holding each other shit accountable. They almost have like the, because they are at times is a motherfucking gang, and they have gang mentalities about telling on each other. Like, I'm not going to snitch on my other cop. Yeah, I'm not going to snitch on Blue Lives Matter and shit, just like how gang members is. So when people, cops and law enforcement listen, and when they say their things, you guys have to look in that aspect of things.
Yeah.
I do want to, like you said, just appreciate this, and everybody keep all of those families in prayers. Everybody who is donating, continue to donate, continue to uplift, continue to protest, continue to do everything that you can going on. Like I said, this is the Two Country Boys in Cali.
Yeah, I appreciate y'all having me on here, man. It's my first time doing a podcast, man. I enjoyed myself, man.
That's what's up, man. Yeah.
So with all that said, I'll salute. Vayas con Dios. Go with God for everybody that speaks Spanish.
Stay safe.
Stay safe out here. Stay healthy.
Stay safe, y'all.
Drink your $12 orange juices and shit.
Hey.
All right, peace.
All right, y'all.